Hi. In my project of creating a community bakery, today I'm looking to see how other bakers are going about it. And it's Thanksgiving week, and I'm not making rolls. Let's talk about that. I'm Zach Martinucci, and this is Against the Grain. I have a lot of favorite bakeries. So many that maybe I've taken away something special by calling them all my favorite, but that's part of the point. I admire these everyday yet extraordinary places that bring joy and connection to their communities with the steadiness and sometimes monotony of this being an everyday thing. Plus, since they're all my favorite, I don't like one best of all, I like them all differently. Here are some of my favorite bakeries in no particular order, plus how I feel they create, engage, or benefit the community. As usual, these are my opinions, obviously, and you'll notice these bakeries are in places I've personally lived and traveled. It's not a comprehensive researched list. Also, these anecdotes are sometimes intentionally one-sided perspectives, so you can see the impact they have on me, an individual, rather than the summary from a collection of Yelp reviews. Here we go. La Chataigne, Lafayette, California. I'm biased because Michael, the owner and head baker, is my dad's cousin and is a mentor of mine. You might remember him from stories in previous episodes. Michael has this very little, very traditional French bakery that has brought something unique and artisanal to his city's food scene. I'm not sure he set out to make a gathering place, but day in and day out, it's a place for people to meet each other for coffee and pick up bread they'll share with friends later on, or just make a special moment in their day. I think there are a lot of La Chataignes out there, and that they all make our communities a better place. Maybe the one you're thinking of is a different kind of bakery altogether, or maybe not a bakery at all, but it still serves that role in the community. Companion Bake Shop, Santa Cruz, California. They might be the La Chataigne of Santa Cruz, although bigger, and they've been around longer. I've never been, but a close friend of mine works there, and I've heard a lot about it from a group of friends in Denver that moved recently from Santa Cruz. I love how many of their favorite memories of that city include Companion. That they talk about missing getting to stop by the bakery to grab a loaf of bread before going on a hike, or walking over for Sunday morning breakfast together. From their stories, it feels like so much more than just a place to buy bread, and really this defining experience from their time in that town. Neighbor Bakehouse, San Francisco, California. Of course, it's in the name, Neighbor. But what's kind of funny is that there isn't much room to sit. There's a line that goes down their driveway and maybe 20 or so seats on these picnic benches outside. So it's a part of people's morning routines, but not necessarily a place you hang out a while. Rather than a neighborhood cafe feel, I always thought of them as this really cool neighbor next door. Like if you lived or worked in Dogpatch, which wasn't a popular area until recently, you'd be really proud and excited to tell people about this shop in your neighborhood, to tell them about your cool neighbor. In a funny way, I think their personal touch and that kind of neighborhood pride they instill brings people together. Forno Brisa, Bologna, Italy. Brisa was just opening its doors as I was leaving Bologna, but I love stopping by in their early days for the most delicious sourdough pizza by the slice. I recommend you look up their Instagram to see what I'm talking about, because it wasn't just a pan pizza they cut into slices. They cut the slices first, and then decorated each square with a perfect nest of toppings like its own work of art, like a pizza pastry. Anyway, in the land of bread, where you can get fresh, albeit pretty boring white bread across most Italian towns, and a dark generic cup of espresso anywhere, Forno Brisa is doing something different. They celebrate their naturally fermented breads, the same style we love here at Rebel, and that Tartine and Jeffrey Hamelman and the like all popularized for us. And they even brew some beer with their bread yeast. They source great coffee, and will make pour-overs and latte art, really all the things that have become commonplace in specialty coffee shops in America, but again, are new concepts in parts of Italy. So I think it's an educational space for the people of Bologna, just from having a story behind the bread they sell and visiting the farms where the grain is grown. They help people see the connections between fermentation and food and where our food comes from, and the difference it makes to source great grains and coffee beans, plus they just make it fun and cool to be a part of. I saw on their Instagram this week that they hosted a pop-up pizza speakeasy. It reminds me a little of the music and pizza nights at our local Moxie Bread Company in Louisville, Colorado, so honorable mention to them as well. But of course, in this Bolognese version, it's some kind of literal underground party, all decked out with artist installations and a live DJ, and of course their signature pizza. It seemed like the thing to do that evening in Bologna. In both of these cases, I love to see these bakeries bringing fun and quirky events to their communities, especially when it involves art and music and diverse people, and somehow, it all comes back to bread. Kitchen Town, San Mateo, California. Naturally, my hometown has this culinary incubator space, but it wasn't really there when I was growing up. It's essentially a commissary, but more so a collection and collaboration of lots of startup food brands that get to share the same kitchen and even retail cafe space. By not being just another hourly-for-rent kitchen, I think they foster this little community among like-minded cooks and foodies that can support one another and help each other grow. Plus, they have a deck oven, that's a specific bread oven, which is unheard of in commissary kitchens, so they happen to attract a lot of bakeries. Basecamp Bakery, Oakland, California. I've never eaten Basecamp bread, but I picked them for this list because we're social media friends and I love to see what they're doing. A recent post caught my eye. A few weeks ago, this farmer's market bakery hosted a community picnic. They brought the bread and the LaCroix and welcomed friends and family and neighbors to bring the toppings and pairings and rest of the drinks. It's such a simple idea, but if they didn't plan it, who would? Maybe that's the point here. Basecamp, like all of these bakeries, didn't plan this crazy, all-inclusive, ticketed bread festival. They just provided a space for people to gather, asked the community to show up however they preferred, and of course, brought the bread. Each bakery takes a different role in their space. Earlier on, I said that each creates, engages, or benefits their community. I make that distinction because the way I see it, even though we're all community bakeries, we can all be very different things. Some create community by offering a physical space, a venue, or an event to gather around. Others engage their communities, participating in local events or building relationships with customers in unique ways. And others still benefit their communities, even if just providing some small value that wasn't there before. Of course, there's often a combination of these at play, and I'm sure this isn't the complete list. Thinking about all this reminds me of that ongoing conversation I have about authenticity. There are a couple episodes about that in the first season. The idea is that it's important to be authentic, but just being authentic, in quotes there, isn't enough. I want to know how you're being authentic. In what way are you being the best restaurant you can be, acting on whatever you consider makes you most genuine? Here too, there's space for every community bakery because every community bakery looks different and serves different people in different ways. We need that. There's not enough room for everyone to show up to the same bakery every weekend. So while we're at it, creating these diverse spaces, let's own what makes us unique. Show me how you community. What people do you engage? What space do you make? What value do you add? It looks different for all of us, and I think that diversity is so important as we collectively, in our own corners of the world or just the town, bring people together around bread. It's Thanksgiving week, and nearly all of my American bakery friends are gearing up for their orders. For some bakeries, it's pie week. Here at Rebel, it's bread week. And for those in the know, it's also buttermilk biscuit and biscotti week. We're offering pre-orders of our usual menu items in case our regulars want to bring some of their favorite things home to the holiday table. That means we're making a lot of sourdough, a lot of olive and rosemary fougasse, and a special Thanksgiving harvest sourdough. That last loaf comes from a collaboration with my friend Liz Birnbaum, founder and culinary historian at The Curated Feast. I asked her to help me tell the story of Thanksgiving through a loaf of bread. So we went with her idea for a tasty pairing of some New World ingredients, if you will. That is, some of the crops native to the Americas that are often celebrated this time of year. It's a polenta sourdough with sage and roasted sunflower seeds. Plus porridge breads, in this case our bread made with polenta in the dough, are just incredibly moist and soft and have this creamy custardy quality which we just love, so it's a great addition to the fall menu. Leading up to this week, we've gotten a few phone calls asking if we also make rolls, which is a fair question, and the answer is, no, sorry, we don't make rolls. And then I hang up and get made fun of by my other bakers because I pretty adamantly don't make rolls. Here's the deal. I've seen in other places I've worked that if you make rolls, people will sometimes only want rolls, not nice loaves of bread. And restaurants will want hundreds of rolls or hamburger buns for cheap. And then you have to hire Sean the brioche roller, whose full-time job it is just to make brioche and roll it into rolls for the butcher and the hamburger place and so on. I don't want to be that kind of business or have that job in my kitchen, so I politely say, no rolls. Well, I really do say it politely, but around the kitchen, we definitely say it with the same chutzpah as Edna Mode in The Incredibles, no capes, or the Seinfeld soup Nazi, no soup for you. I really wish I had a better catchphrase that stuck in the kitchen, but for now, no rolls will have to do. It's a little ridiculous, but I've realized that by standing by that, I'm also standing up for who we are, what we do and don't do, and claiming a little space for rebel bread in the bakery world. There are so many different kinds of bakeries, as we know, and just because it says bakery above the door doesn't mean I make cupcakes, or croissants, or rolls. And even though we strive to engage with our community, we can't be everything to everyone. We each do what we do best, and as for being able to eventually reach all the people, that's why we need more community bakeries. Whatever is at your Thanksgiving table, I hope you have a restful week celebrating with friends and family and your community, whatever that means to you. We've got 2 more weeks together, just enough time to kick off panettone season. I'll talk to you next week. This track was Focus by A.A. Alto on Free Music Archive.